This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
Oh, I'm the gander.
You're the gander.
Oh, very
so
nice.
So what was your concert? Did that Barry Manilow show change your life?
Why do I always catch heck for the Barry Manilow? I wish I'd have never told you that. Remember, I'm 46, and I was about 13 or 14 when I went to see Barry Manilow.
So you're saying your life can't be changed at age 13 or 14?
Yeah, you're right. I'm a big Barry Manilow fan.
Class is in.
I got tiger blood, Chad. All I do is win. I just keep winning, Chad. I got tiger blood.
What?
Don't get on me, man. I'll drop my armaments on you, huh?
What are you
I'm
talking about?
I'm living the Charlie Sheen life, man. I'm living the Charlie Sheen life. Thinking about having the cops come and get my kids, get myself a couple of goddesses. And should I bring the goddesses to the show next time? What do you say? Huh? A couple goddesses in here. We can put one goddess over in that corner, another goddess over in that corner.
Yeah, Charlie's not your real name.
No, it's not.
Your name is Carlos.
My name is Emilio Estevez. That's I just go with Joe Burns for the hay of it.
Right.
And by the way, I am Joe Burns, a professor in the communication department. What's your name there, kid, over there?
Chad P.
Chad P., my Emilio Estevez to my Charlie Sheen.
What?
Let's do another. I don't know what I'm talking about after a while. Once you get into the whole goddess thing, you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
Let's do another Rock School show. Now, last week we did a book, right?
Yeah, it was
Rockstar
fun.
Rockstar Babylon.
That was a fun book.
I have another book, not quite as fun, but rather interesting, I think it is. Rolling Stone, the magazine, puts out book after book after book after book. And I found this one, believe it or not, at a garage sale.
Hey, garage sales is one man's trash is another man's trash.
Well, yeah. And I found this trash for, I think he wanted a quarter for it or something like that.
And of course, did you negotiate?
Of course.
So you negotiated it down.
At every garage sale, even the guy, you know, what do you want for that? A nose hair.
Right.
Will you take half a nose hair?
I'm telling you, I just had a garage sale, and when someone like you would walk up, I would just take a break.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Rolling Stone. The book is called What Your Rock and Roll Favorites Favor.
Oh.
It's kind of hard to say out loud. Hmm. What Your Rock and Roll Favorites Favor. And it is just that. It is one little tiny paragraph. You can see the pages right there.
I do.
One little paragraph after another, simply asking the people of rock and roll, what influenced you?
Uh-huh.
Then what's your favorite instrument?
Uh-huh.
Then what's your favorite album?
Oh, cool.
Then what's, you know, what concert knocked you out?
Yeah.
Some of it's done through interviews. Some of it's gleaned from the pages of Rolling Stone.
Right.
But it's just a fantastic little read because it's one of those that, again, you can pick up and put down and pick up and put down at will. And if you put it all together, it makes for a nice little show.
Cool.
So let me run some of these past you. Moby, you a fan of Moby? All that techno stuff?
I can live with or without.
According to Moby, Johnny Nash's I Can See Clearly Now was the song that made him go, I have to become a musician.
Seriously?
You wouldn't think that would be the song.
Hmm.
Montel Jordan?
Yeah.
Curtis Mayfield?
I can see
and
that.
And only Curtis Mayfield.
Yeah, I can see
Bootsy
that.
Collins?
Mm-hmm.
Only James Brown.
Hmm.
James Brown was the thing that did it. Have you ever heard of the Cold Crush Brothers?
No, I have not.
I haven't either, but Run DMC, those guys say it was the Cold Crush Brothers
mm-hmm.
that he said, we have to do it. Busta Rhymes, the rapper.
Yeah.
George Clinton, he says, is everybody's favorite.
Right.
That's what should do it.
Huh.
Isaac Hayes, the reason Isaac Hayes got into music,
B.B.
King.
Oh, yeah.
B.B. King was the reason
he
did it.
You can hear a lot of B.B. King in his songs.
Oh, you can. Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Seriously?
Specifically Black Sabbath with Ozzy Osbourne.
Wow,
that's what
and you
moved
can't
them.
Get any polar opposite than Black Sabbath and the Smashing Pumpkins.
In here also, they talk to Ozzy Osbourne, and he says it was the Beatles Specifically, I want to hold your hand. How do you draw from point A to point B on that?
Right, exactly.
You know, from getting from that to Black Sabbath.
Like, oh, I just have to pick someone. Oh, the Beatles.
Yeah. Meredith Brooks says it's Chrissy Hynde. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Sure.
Of the Pretenders. And Chrissy Hynde herself. What is it? You know, what is it that moved Chrissy Hynde?
What would it be?
Moby Grape.
Oh,
now, I've brought
seriously?
Moby Grape up on this show before.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about him.
She said Moby Grape, she started listening to it in 1969, and she said, I know I listen to my Moby Grape albums a couple of hundred times. And if you're wondering what Moby Grape sounds like, here's Hey Grandma from 1967, probably one of the ones Chrissy Hynde listened to again and again as we look at the book, What Your Rock and Roll Favorites Favor, for an hour right here. Rock School.
Hey Grandma!
Rock School, as we look at the Rolling Stone book, What's Your Rock and Roll Favorites Favor. You know, you're not eating anything today.
I'm drinking a smoothie.
Oh, I see. That's right. And you're Facebooking over there. We got to get out of here. We're not in the same room
normally
are.
No, we're in a little reserve room.
Yeah, you
today.
Have a computer in front of your Facebook in here. All right. Chris Barron of the Spin Doctors, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Patti Smith, Joni Mitchell, Johnny Cash, Lou Reed, Jerry Garcia.
Oh, now wait a minute. You can only pick one.
No, all of them, the same influence. Bob Dylan.
They're just all picking different... I thought it was the Spin Doctors guy that said, these seven people were my influence.
Oh, no, no. All these people state Bob Dylan is of the same influence.
Bob Dylan.
Jim Kerr of Simple Minds states that it was the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust that did it. But this is the one that caught my eye. Joan Jett, started with the Runaways and then went on to, of course, have a whale of a solo career. Absolutely no one would give her a chance. Then she self-published her album, and Darned If I Love Rock and Roll didn't go to number one. It says here she got into the glitter stuff, moved out to California, started getting into Bowie, T-Rex, The Sweep. But she says what really moved her was Suzy Quatro.
Really?
Remember Suzy Quatro? Stumbling In was her big hit.
I do.
But the thing about Suzy Quatro was that she said, I had never, ever seen a woman play rock and roll, let alone a woman play rock and roll with a guitar before. And she said, if that's being done, if someone else is doing it, there's got to be other women out there, just like me, that want to play this music.
Right.
And so she decided that, you know, if Suzy Quatro's doing it, why can't I do it?
Why not?
And if I can do it, other women are going to see me and go after it. So this is something that Joan Jett would have seen. Yeah, they're Stumbling In, and that's a nice, calm song, and that's the one she had her hit with. Mm-hmm. But Suzy Quatro was a rocker, and this is the one that rocks. This is called Can the Can, one you probably haven't heard before. Right now, Rock School. But you never heard anything like that from Suzy Quatro. Oh, yeah, Stumbling In is what you expect.
Rocking.
Oh, yeah, just nice little poppy tunes. Oh, no.
No.
She pushes.
Hmm.
Now, I talked earlier about Ozzy Osbourne, and you know he came from the Beatles.
Yeah,
he said that's what he likes.
Opposites, yeah.
What?
Right.
And then out of it comes, you know, Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Say what? I found some more that were absolute polar opposites. Dickie Barrett. Can you do it? What's the name of the band?
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
You got it. Now,
yeah,
they play ska music,
yeah, I love
right?
that style. Uh-huh.
Now, what would you expect would have been his influences?
Real Big Fish.
Jamaican stuff.
Stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously he's got a big Marley poster on the wall, right? No. Aerosmith's Toys in the Attic.
Seriously?
Was the album that made him go, I gotta be a musician. Well, how'd you get ska out of that? I mean, where did that come from?
Huh.
Billy Joe Armstrong. Punk.
Green Day.
Punk. Yeah. Well, what's it got to be, right? Ramones.
Sex Pistols.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
What
you
is
know,
it?
Television.
Sure.
Elvis Presley's The Sun Sessions.
Huh?
I know. I'm with you. You would think it would be something at least within their genre.
I thought when someone influenced you that you kind of took some influence from them
and applied it into
your style.
Maybe they did. Paula Jean Harvey. You would think, you know, same kind of music as her.
Sure.
Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, Jimi Hendrix, Captain Beefheart.
Mm.
What?
Mm.
And the one we're going to play, dig this, Lisa Loeb.
Yeah, you know, glasses.
Poppy, you know, the cutest little thing.
Little thing,
lovely.
What is it?
Queens, A Night at the Opera.
What?
I'm sorry, what? But you just, I guess it's just getting people in to music. You know, it's one of those, you drop the needle and something just hits you. I don't know if it's hormonal or if it's something that's just part of it. I remember sometimes putting an album down. Like, I'm listening to an album right now by Gary Cherone's new band.
Right.
It's called Hurt Smile. And it's not anything I want to play on the radio because he's never really going to have a hit off
or anything
like that. It's Cherone, so I downloaded it legally. And it's just great.
Yeah.
But I've played it for my wife, and she looks at me as if I've got a second head. But these people, they put the needle down, and it washes over them.
No doubt. Yeah.
You know, as an audience member, what was it that you dropped the needle on, and it washed over you?
Hmm.
Here's Queen from Night at the Opera. You're my best friend. Rock School. Time for our first break here on Rock School out of Queen. I could listen to Queen every day. I'm an absolute huge Queen fan.
You know what I've been listening to a lot of
lately?
What's
that?
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, well, I mean, it resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just some music that doesn't resonate with me. My wife listens to a Christian group called Out of the Gray, and they could redo, Zeppelin. And there's just something about their sound that doesn't do it. Well, what is it? What album did you drop the needle on at some point in time and went, that's it, I got to play drums?
Well, you're placing a time frame on me, so I didn't drop a needle. I put a cassette tape in.
Okay. Well, you're only, what, 31?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm 46.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
When I first got exposed to rock, it was when my sister bought the Appetite for Destruction LP.
So Guns N' Roses.
And so that I was like, wow, what is this stuff? This rock and roll stuff.
Yeah.
My biggest influence, believe it or not, was Green Day. I listened to Green Day morning, noon, and night because their drummer, Trey Cool, just drummed so fast. And that really made me want to pick up a pair of sticks.
Oh, good for you.
What Van Halen album influenced you?
Believe it or not, I didn't get into Van Halen until there were four albums in. I didn't even know they existed. Yeah, the stuff that I really dug when I was first starting to play the guitar was Jay Giles, Rush a lot.
Yeah.
Rush a lot. Zeppelin, early Zeppelin, because a lot of Zeppelin riffs were easy to play.
Sure.
And I'm trying to think, Jefferson Airplane.
Mm-hmm.
The Who, a lot of Who stuff. And I didn't get into Van Halen, believe it or not, and it was an epiphany when it happened.
Right.
It was, I mean, Clouds Part, Single Beam of Light, Angels Sing, D minor, chord on the organ. I got invited to a party, and I remember the young lady that was throwing the party said to me, you're a guitarist, right? Yeah. Have you heard about Van Halen? I don't remember if I'd ever heard of them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess so, yeah. And she said, take a listen to this. And she put on Van Halen 2 in vinyl.
Yeah.
And honest to God, it was just, like I said, I don't know if it's hormonal or if there's just some chemical in the brain or something like that, but it absolutely hit me.
Right.
And I went out the next day. I used to caddy. I used to carry bags on a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out the next day, and I did two rounds, and I made a buck a hole.
Yeah.
So, 18 holes times 2. I had $72. I went out and bought all four Van Halen albums in one shot and then locked myself in the room and stayed up as late as I possibly could. I about wore the things out.
Cool deal.
It was just as if, I don't know what it is, like a drug hit me.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted
to do. That's the beauty of your influence because, again, I was in high school, ninth grade, talking in class, got punish work, which meant that you had to write, lines.
Yeah.
And I said, that's fine. I stayed up till 3 a.m. writing those lines because I would just flip over the Green Day and over again.
Yeah, and when CDs came out and I could program it to play the songs in whatever order I wanted, beautiful.
Oh.
They know what I'm talking about at Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain.
And also at KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana, the influence music capital of the world.
That's true.
You know that?
I did. Get us on Facebook. Look, Rock School Radio Show, and make sure that you friend us, like us. Yeah. You really like
us. That's what I was doing just now.
Yeah. Stop surfing Facebook. I'm trying to run a radio show here. I got tiger blood, man. Back in a minute. Rock School. All right, we've talked about influences and those who have influenced people out of this book, What's Your Rock and Roll Favorites Favor from Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
They also talk to people about what album did you, you know, buy? What record did you buy
sure.
that made you go, oh, wow, here are a few. Mm-hmm. Bob Seger, The Ronettes, Be My Baby, said absolutely killed me the first time I heard it. Phil Spector, great, great producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, yeah. It's too bad he's going to be remembered as the goofy guy with the big Afro wig who absolutely, you know, now has to go to jail and all that. You know, something that happened at the end of his life. John Popper of Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think great harmonicists
absolutely.
And all of that?
That's the first thing I would think.
John Coltrane and Miles Davis on Kind of Blue.
Uh-huh.
And by the way.
By the way.
Miles Davis.
Yeah.
Every person who considers themselves at all a music aficionado needs to get a hold of a Miles Davis album.
The coolest man ever.
Even if you don't like it, you need to expose yourself to it. Even if you put it on and at the end of it kind of shake your head and go, well, okay, not my cup of tea. You need to expose yourself to it because it is as great as people say it is.
Well, how many Miles Davis albums do you have, Senator?
I probably own four or five.
Do you?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm Something Brew is my favorite. I don't want to say the word because it'll upset.
Sure.
It'll upset Todd. But you know, look for Miles Davis and Brew. You'll find it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
that's my favorite.
I'm gonna add one to the iPod before I get out today.
Beck, dig this.
Yeah.
The Osmonds.
No, he did.
That's what it
lie.
Says here.
No, he was being silly.
It says the Osmonds have a great song about going back to Utah. They had one really heavy record in 73. He says it's their Sabbath record. It's called Crazy Horse. Crazy Horses, actually. The song is like pounding drums, heavy guitars, and a Moog synthesizer coming in. He says it's rocking and it's legitimate. He says, don't make fun of me.
No.
Put it on and try it.
I'm laughing because when you say going back to
Utah.
Utah. The first song that popped in my mind was going back to Cali.
Yeah,
so I could just hear him, I'm going back to
Utah.
Utah.
I don't think so. Chris Ballew of the President of the United States. This is one we're going to play.
I love that band.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Was it Lump was their big hit?
And Peaches.
Peaches was their other one.
Yep.
Chris Ballew says, kids, you just can't go wrong with any of the first three Blue Oyster Cult records. You know what? I own two of them.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it.
The cowbell did it.
That's not the one we're going to play, though. I'm going to play the one that he suggests is their best one from the album Spectress in 77.
Oh, that's the one Bruce Dickinson produced.
Go, go, Godzilla. Rock School. There you go. Wades through the village to the center of town. It's Blue Oyster Cult. All right. I got a fever. Still need a little more cowbell. Welcome to the bottom of the hour. My name is Charlie Sheen. That's Emilio Estevez over there.
Why do you keep calling me that?
Because you look a little like him. You
right.
really do.
This is because
actually,
of last week.
Yeah,
I did that John Holmes joke.
Okay. I'm Joe Burns. You are?
Chad P.
Okay. Let's do 7 days and 70 seconds. Get back to what your rock and roll favorites favor. The book I'm doing this week from Rolling Stone. Monday, March 7th through Sunday, March 13th. Chad got Monday. Do it.
Monday, March 7th in 1958 at the first United States DJ convention, which was held in Kansas, jocks vote against the new Top 40 format, saying it uses too few songs and it turns over way too fast.
It actually does, because when Top 40 came out, it really only was 40 songs.
Yeah.
It just rolled around that quick. Tuesday, March 8th, 40 years ago, North Vietnamese Army propaganda radio station Hanoi spins Jimi Hendrix Star-Spangled Banner.
Oh, no.
They thought it was anti-American. Oh, no, kids, we like it.
March 9th, happy birthday, Dad. Back in 1976, The Who's drummer and noted partier Keith Moon collapsed on stage at the start of a concert in Boston.
Thursday, March 10th, 1984, Ian Gillan, who replaces Ronnie James Dio in Black Sabbath, leaves Black Sabbath and rejoins Deep Purple. In case you're wondering, he is replaced in Sabbath by a guy named David Donato. Yeah, that doesn't last very long either.
March 11th, back in 1991, Janet Jackson signs the biggest record deal ever, $30 million. With Virgin Records. It only took her brother Michael about 7 days to beat that deal
with
when he signed with Sony. That's right.
That's right. Saturday, March 12th, 1969, Paul McCartney says, I do to Linda Eastman at the Marlborough? Look, well, look. See, the ink ran.
It's called show prep first,
ran.
Folks.
Yeah. Not that we read these without looking at them. Mm-hmm. Somewhere in the UK, a registry office, they got married. Sunday, March 13th, 15 years ago, despite camping out all night for tickets, Ramones fans in Buenos Aires riot after being told the show is sold out. Apparently, rich people got to the tickets before the actual public could get to it. Okay, back to the book. What your rock and roll favorites favor? What about a couple really massive names? Some of the greatest songwriters around. Pete Townsend. What was the record that made Pete Townsend go, oh, unbelievable? How about the Beach Boys' I Can Hear Music?
Yeah.
Says it's some of the greatest backing vocals he had ever heard in his life. He said the only person he thought could write better music was John Lennon.
Ah.
Speaking of that, John Lennon. What was the single that John Lennon said had the largest effect ever on him?
I have no idea.
I mean, you got to think, this is a guy that's written how many songs that are going to last forever?
Sure.
Oh, Happy Day by the Edwin Hawkins Singers.
Are you serious?
Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, I have.
Have you really?
Yes, I have.
I actually had to download it and listen to it. Here it is. Oh, Happy Day by the Edwin Hawkins Singers. This is a song that made John Lennon go, oh, unbelievable. Sounds like this. Rock School. Doing the book, What Your Rock and Roll Favorites Favor. Now, we've talked about records they bought. We talked about influences. Let's move on to rock shows.
Oh, cool. All
actual shows they've seen. Have you seen a rock show?
Yeah, a
that
lot.
When, oh, yeah, so have I. On Facebook, we were asked to list 100 shows that we've seen, and I could do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Through radio and such.
Yes, sir.
Have you had that show where you just couldn't believe it when it was over, or something happened during the show? It was almost, you know, I hate to use the word magic because it's used all the time, but you had that one show?
Yeah, I actually have one. Well, my favorite band is Lit, and my wife, who was just my girlfriend at the time, we got to go see them in the Cajun Dome. It was a general admission show. They were opening for Kid Rock. I had absolutely no interest in going to see Kid Rock. I went for the opening band.
Yeah.
We got there 3.5 hours early thinking there would be a huge line. There was no one there.
Perfect. First
and
in the door.
We sat down in front of the door, ate some peanuts and drank some beverages.
Yeah.
There's no feeling. I can't even describe it. When they took our tickets and opened up the doors and we just kind of jogged on in and went right up to the stage. We didn't have to run quick because we were first. We could have sat anywhere we wanted, and we got right up there on that stage.
Cool, man.
And it was unbelievable.
Here are some of the people from the book. David Bowie says, Little Richard, saw him at the Brighton Odeon, says he must have been 63 because the Stones opened for him.
Wow.
Bo Diddley was there. Dwayne Eddy was there. Sam Cooke was there. He said it was like nothing he had ever seen, and it cemented in his mind, that's what I want to do. Uh-huh. I got to be a rock star. Henry Rollins says, no one has ever worked harder on the drums than John Bonham. Mm. He said it was the tour before Bonham died, and he said they opened up a white light right on him on Cashmere. He said it was the most powerful moment he'd ever seen on stage.
I bet that was something special to see.
Eric Clapton said, he says he'll never forget the first rock and roll show he ever saw, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he said it threw me.
The Ivories.
Yeah, he said it was something he thought was from outer space. Eddie Van Halen. He said a friend of his saw Derek and the Dominoes at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium because his buddy won the tickets on the radio.
Sure.
He says, I swear, this is a quote, I swear he pointed at me. Quote, he kind of did a thumbs up thing and pointed at me. Well, it might have been to somebody else because I was surrounded by cute girls, but I swear to God he was pointing at me. Well, maybe, maybe not. Here's Eric Clapton and the Derek and the Dominoes band. I looked away. This one leads off the album Layla and Other Assorted Love Songs, and it sounds like this. Rock School.
very nice. Little Derek and the Dominoes.
Sure.
I'm loving it. Well, you know what's good for the goose is good for you.
Oh, I'm the gander?
You're the gander.
Oh, very
so
nice.
So what was your concert? Did that Barry Manilow show change your life?
Why do I always catch heck for the Barry Manilow? I wish I'd have never told you that. Remember, I'm 46, and I was about 13 or 14 when I went to see Barry Manilow.
So you're saying your life can't be changed at age 13 or 14?
Yeah, you're right. I'm a big Barry Manilow fan. And later today, I'm going to download some Justin Bieber music.
Well, now,
just
don't
for the
get
fun of
smart,
it.
Alec. I'm just asking. What was your influential concert?
I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of concerts before this one, but I was dating a girl whose father was the ticket accountant for the Richfield Coliseum.
That's somebody good to date.
Yeah, Kara was her name. I dated her for years, and it's not like a fling that I just, you know, how can I date her just to go to concerts? I mean, I dated her for years.
You wouldn't be a bad guy if you did that.
You know, well, I would mean a lot of people.
By radio
eyes.
Standards.
I got to see a whole lot of, you know, Cleveland Cavaliers basketball games. Don't look for the Richfield Coliseum, by the way. It got torn down. All the stuff's downtown. Mm. This was out in an outlying place called Richfield. But Van Halen came to the Richfield Coliseum on the Hide Your Sheep tour.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to finagle tickets. And we were just off of, I never know what, you, as you're looking at the stages to the right, is that stage right or stage left or whatever it is, but as you're looking at the stage off to the right, and Van Halen always had those two little platforms on either side,
sure.
And Ed was off to the right.
Mm-hmm.
We were so close, I could see his fingernails.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, for me, that was, I might as well have been looking at Superman at that point in time. And he would come over and he always took the guitar and turned it up so the
sure.
neck was pointing straight at the air. And he would look straight out into the audience and turn it so you could watch his fingers go.
Right.
And, you know, as if I'm watching a lecture, you know, I'm staring at the whole thing. I wasn't even on a date that, or I was, but I was on a date with Ed that night.
Oh, wow.
It was ridiculous. It really was. And what cheesed me off about the whole thing,
here we go,
was that the hours I spent trying to do what that guy was doing,
yeah,
all the two-handed stuff and yeah. all the speed work and the double picking and the six-fret stretch that he does with his left hand.
Yeah.
All of that I was trying to do at the time. You got to remember, I'm 16, 17.
And he gave you fits, huh?
Yeah, it drove me up a tree. This guy was doing it like he was playing Polly Wally Doodle. At the end of it, I'm like,
right.
And
he's the pro.
Sure. Well, we tried to get backstage and all that, but that couldn't have been finagled. But it was still wonderful. Radio, Tiger Radio, actually, KLSU, they run the radio show.
As does WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin. There's a fella listening up there that I know has been to a lot of shows. What's up, Terry?
Yeah, betcha. Okay, let's take a break, come back in a minute, talk about some other people's wonderful life-altering concerts. Back in a minute. Rock School. From the book, What's Your Rock and Roll Favorite's Favor, a little reminiscing by Chad and I today. Here are some other people that are telling about what they saw, their favorite concerts here. Dave Matthews says Tom Waits on the tour that he did before he put out the film Big Time at the Warner Theater in D.C. You're not a big Tom Waits fan, are you?
I can't stand him.
It's the voice, isn't it?
Yes.
You can't get past the voice.
No, I can't.
Yeah,
and Dave Matthews is brilliant.
I know. He's one of those artists that is polarizing. You either love him
uh-huh.
or you hate him.
And I'm on the latter.
Yeah, I kind of like him. I really do.
He's horrible.
No, he's guttural. It's one of those, if you need an emotion, a specific emotion, Waits will get it out there for you.
Yeah.
And I really believe that.
Mm.
Jim Kerr of Simple Minds saw Iggy Pop at the Glasgow City Hall in 1977, says he was a Tasmanian devil, said he'd never seen energy like that, and that's what he wanted to do. Andrew Partridge of XTC. I love XTC. Mm-hmm. I got to find reasons to play XTC on this radio station. He said he saw the very first Ramones tour.
Oh, cool.
However, it wasn't the Ramones that moved him.
Who was it?
There was an opening band that no one had ever heard of called the Talking Heads.
Oh, cool. The Talking Heads.
Yeah, he turned to his friend and he said, you know, the Ramones were cool, but that first band, watch them. They're going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Who else do I have in here? Oh, Herb Alpert, one more time. Miles Davis,
mm-hmm.
the seminal jazz musician, says he's seen him about four times,
mm-hmm.
and every time it got better and better. He'll never defeat that show. Came back and saw him again.
He did it.
Gwen Stefani of No Doubt. This is the one we're going to play.
Uh-huh.
David Bowie, The Go-Go's, and Madness was coming to the Anaheim Stadium in 1983. It was the summer before her ninth grade. Mm-hmm. Her brother got to go, but her dad said, too young. Okay?
Aww.
Cries herself to sleep on the couch. The next day, apparently her dad felt bad. Bought an additional set of tickets. Calls her and says, honey, can you be ready in 10 minutes? I'm taking you to the concert. I hope I'm that cool, Dad. Here's Madness. Must be love. Rock School.
And I never thought I'd feel this way, the way I feel about you.
All right, last break here on Rock School. We'll make this one fairly short because we got to get out of here. But talking about the book, what's your rock and roll favorites favor?
Some of them make absolutely no sense to me. I'm serious. It sounded like they were interviewed and they got stumped by a question. Ooh, let me think of somebody. The Pretenders.
You ready for this? You say some of them don't make sense?
Go ahead.
What I normally do is at the end of the show, I turn to Chad, and, you know, we always bring far more music than we're going to play.
Sure.
It's a whole lot better to be over-prepared than under-prepared.
Absolutely.
So I brought 16 songs with me this time. We've played 8 to this point. We need our 9th to finish up the show. And I listed all of the songs, and I said, I got Big Time by Peter Gabriel. And Chad goes, yeah, that's good. Play that. Well, in the book, Peter Gabriel's album So is listed as influential for one of the people in the book.
Who is
the guy?
Who is that?
You don't know who that is?
Well, I can't see. It's in black. Is that Ozzy?
Yes, that's Ozzy Osbourne.
What?
Back in 1995, Ozzy Osbourne was asked in Rolling Stone, what do you think is one of the best albums this year? And he said, I think the best album around in a long time was Peter Gabriel's album, So.
I kind of like the So album for Peter Gabriel.
How is that possible? Because you think this guy's a heavy metal musician, you would expect he would like heavy metal as well.
He's got to be playing Tool and Deftones.
Right,
and all
that's
that
what
stuff.
You expect. You're going to get that kind of stuff out of him. But
you
haven't
seen my Peter Gabriel CD.
No, he's into Peter Gabriel.
Wow.
So you got to be amazed. And you think about it, what's his name, Randy Rhoads that played with him?
Mm-hmm.
You would hear when Randy Rhoads was on the road, you would think, what's he listening to?
Yeah.
You know, same kind of metal type stuff. No, he listened to classical music, specifically classical guitar.
Yeah.
So you never know. So don't think, kids, when you're out there playing that, you know, I got to listen to the stuff because I'm cool. No, you listen to what you dig.
Yeah.
And the heck with what other people think. Even Ozzy Osbourne digs Peter Gabriel.
Mm.
So we end on him. What's your name?
Chad P.
I'm Joe Burns. See you next week with another show. Class is dismissed.